Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Well, free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
It's Wednesday. You're listening to the Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Mississippi Networks. Happy to have you along for the next hour as we talk all things Southern Miss. Luke Johnson in the First Bank studio in downtown Laurel. Kelly Sander and Michael Mergens in Hattiesburg. Great show for you today. In the third segment today, Athletic Director Jeremy McLean will be on with us. And he will be talking, recapping, and just going into further detail about Southern Miss's brand new conference, the Sun Belt. Of course, yesterday it was announced that the Sun Belt had extended invitation. Southern Miss has accepted, and Southern Miss will begin that transition. Also, Patrick McGee on a little later in the program, talking just what it means, really, as we look at the Southeast and the blueprint and the footprint of the Sun Belt Conference. First segment of the Eagle Hour today brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Stop by your local Dickey's and get some of the best meat smoked anywhere. Dickey's here. Dickey's smoked here, loved everywhere. All right, Kelly's back. And Kelly, what you had a little flight delay yesterday in Texas, but you got back and you're able to get to the press conference yesterday. I watched on the Zoom, and as Keith Gill and Dr. Rodney Bennett and Jeremy McLean all answered questions and talked about this, and I think you said this to me, and other people have said this. This is one of the most exciting day. Yesterday was one of the most exciting days probably in the last quarter century, almost rivaling that of, you know, the 87 NIT championship, some of the big wins in football. But kind of put in perspective, Kelly, for you, you know, and I honor you in saying this, a little older than me, what yesterday means for Southern Miss.
I think that it is the biggest day in Southern Miss history since the Eagles won the NIT in 87. And, you know, as a reporter too, Luke, you feel kind of you really feel good when Bob and I have, you know, and you, we've talked about this for 3 years, that we thought that a move to the Sun Belt, and it was all hypothetical then, but we thought a move to the Sun Belt would be good from a geographic standpoint. All of the things that all three, Dr. Bennett, Commissioner Gill, and Jeremy McLean all talked about yesterday are all the exact same reasons why we felt that the Sun Belt was a better fit. And remember, 2 years ago, people said at that time that it was a step down. And we asked Jeremy McLean not long ago, and he felt that way a little bit a couple of years ago at a remote that we did. But because of the leadership and the growth of the Sun Belt and what's happening there, that has not been the case anymore. This, if Jeremy McLean doesn't do anything else, and that's not likely, but I'm just saying, if he doesn't do anything else, his legacy will be that he got us out of a burning Rome and put us into the Sun Belt Conference. There were communications, you know, that started in July, as they talked about, just in generalities, as conferences began to reshape and reform. And it's perfect for the fans now, who will get to drive back and forth to football games. They not only can go to home games, they can go to road games. It's significant for athletes who are recruited from around this area, where their parents can go to road games as well as home games. You're competing with schools with similar budgets. You're competing with schools with similar enrollments. You're competing with schools that are nearby, the regional rivalries that you're now going to be able to have, the money you're going to be saving in traveling sending both men's and women's teams to places that are a lot closer, that could be serviced by a bus rather than airlines. The list goes on and on. And Jeremy McClain mentioned yesterday at the press conference, there's not a single drawback to this move. My only regret is that it can't happen any sooner than July 1st, 2023. My daughter went to Georgia Southern. I have seen how that campus is booming. These schools are booming academically. They're booming enrollment-wise. They're booming with performance in all of these sports. This is a great day indeed. I am so glad that the Eagles are officially in the Sun Belt Conference.
Me too. The excitement yesterday, and of course, as a former football player, just the idea that, you know, we will in a lot of ways come back to a national stage. Sun Belt knows who they are. They know where they are. I thought it was intriguing yesterday when Keith Gill talked about the eyes that they look for, the eyes that watch them weekly on national television, you know, with the ESPN contract. And just the fit, I think that's what you said. And I heard that from Dr. Bennett, Jeremy, and Keith Gill about the fit of the Sun Belt. And as you said, Kelly, the particulars, Southern Miss will become a member as of July the 1st, 2023. Will be in all sports. It seems as if they will be a full member from the very beginning, entitled to, you know, everything else that the other members get in the Sun Belt. It looks like Old Dominion will announce, as we got the national kind of writers talking about it last night, Old Dominion's announcement is imminent, and then we expect James Madison and Marshall to follow. Couple things. Let's talk about what stood out to us at the press conference. Keith Gill spoke first. And one of the things that I think that he said, Kelly, that stood out to me was, you know, the question was asked later, are there any caveats? You know, does Southern Miss have to upgrade facilities? None of that. Nothing. There's no stipulations attached with Southern Miss coming to Sun Belt. And one of the things Gill said was they want Southern Miss as they are now. I found that profound.
Indeed, because when you hear some of the Debbie Downers in the Southern Miss fan base, they'll go, well, why would anybody want Southern Miss? Why would anybody want us? Well, Commissioner Gill talked about it yesterday. It's not necessarily based on right this moment, but the rich tradition and history that Southern Miss has had on the football field and has, you know, long-term baseball-wise. Football's down, obviously, a little bit. Basketball is rebuilding. But it's the rich history that this institution has brought forth. And Dr. Bennett, I thought one of the intriguing things that was said yesterday, even though Dr. Bennett had fewer words than either the commissioner or Jeremy McClain, Dr. Bennett acknowledged directly or indirectly the tie between athletic performance and academic enrollment. Because he said, what's one of the benefits, you know, why this decision? And Dr. Bennett talked about one of the reasons we're making this move is because of the prominence of the Sun Belt, which will attract new students. And there's always been this argument between the athletic community and the academic community that academics should have priority over athletics. And indeed, they should. But there is a profound difference. If you have sports teams that do well, your enrollments soar. And it's not just at Southern Miss, it's nationwide. So Dr. Bennett acknowledged that in different words, but he did acknowledge that yesterday, and I think that's important.
A couple things that Jeremy McClain mentioned also, seems as if the Eagles will save approximately $500,000 in travel cost. And I guess that's annually what they said. Dr. Bennett mentioned that $41 million might be the economic impact for this, and that's with Hattiesburg. And then, of course, kind of the sticky one and the one you kind of grimaced at, the bylaws state of Conference USA, the bylaws state that the exit fee is 2 years' worth of payout, which Dr. Bennett and both Jeremy McClain said would be about $3 million. And they did say they have a plan for that. You know, Kelly, we were talking yesterday, and both of us just wondered, what happens if Conference USA folds? You know, is that exit fee, when would it be paid, or how would it be paid? Because is it paid immediately? Is it paid installments? Is it paid later on? But that's really the only thing, because, you know, we kind of know Tulane and Houston, East Carolina probably paid a little less than when they departed. But you got to think Conference USA is going to get every cent they can out of these schools that are leaving.
As long as it does exist. And again, I asked about the lame duck academic season, which would be next year, you know, 2022 to 2023. But because a lot of these schools that are shifting around none of them are making moves until 2023. You'd anticipate that the Conference USA landscape would still be as we know it today. But then after that, you know, what happens to Conference USA? But the leadership that Commissioner Gill has shown in this whole deal by being proactive while he was out taking the bull by the horns, getting new schools to come on board, while the leadership at Conference USA fiddled while Rome was burning around it, should tell you why Conference USA is nowhere for a school that we love to be. And I'm giddy over that. At my age, it's very difficult to get excited and conversely depressed about much of anything. This is about as excited as I can get. This is a wonderful development, and I'm hoping that the fan base can knock, you know, the fair weather fan base can knock the rust off and get back on board, because this is an exciting move. I'm happy for the fans too, because like I said, we'll be able to travel. We can go to Monroe for a football game. We can go to South Al, and you know, we'll be able to. Lafayette's not that far. Troy's not that far. So and those fans will come here.
Yeah,
it's just great. I'm so excited.
An exciting day indeed for Southern Miss. And Jeremy McClain coming up at 1:37 to talk to us more about the exciting announcement, Southern Miss joining the Sun Belt. That will take place in a couple segments. Southern Miss will enter the Sun Belt July the 1st, 2023. We're going to step aside for a commercial break. Patrick McGee from NOLA.com, who has covered Southern Miss for quite a long time, the impact going forward about this and what this means for the Golden Eagles. Stick with us. Patrick up next.
Southern Miss to the top.
It's a new day here on the Eagle Hour as we begin to usher out conference. That would be cruel to say useless SA, wouldn't it, at this point? Because it is going to be July 1st of 2023, after all, and a lot of things can happen there. But first things first, this segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Campus Bookmart, that big, bright yellow building right across from the main campus at Southern Miss, with apparel sizes up to 5X. So us full-figured guys can even get our apparel there. Basketball shirts are now in, whether you want to go with the collar or without the collar. You want the black, yellow, white, gold, every color of shirt available and imaginable is in there, plus novelty items in time for Christmas. That's Campus Bookmart, open 24 hours a day online at campusbookmart.net. And Kelly Sander and producer Michael Mergens in the First Bank studio in Hattiesburg, Luke in torn up downtown Laurel.
Still beautiful.
It is. Oh, yeah. But.
Hey, we should mention real quick, Kelly, it looks like Old Dominion now, it's official. Old Dominion is the newest member of the Sun Belt Conference.
And Old Dominion, we broke this story 2 weeks ago on that Old Dominion was saying if they go, they want James Madison to go with them.
Yep. What does that say?
Which has been their natural rival. And it looks like now James Madison may be the next one. And we can talk about the advantages of James Madison later on in the show, too. But Patrick McGee joins us now from NOLA.com on the Super Talk Mississippi hotline. Patrick, for a guy that's covered Southern Miss for a long time, let's kind of get your take on the news that it's official now, Southern Miss headed to the Sun Belt.
Well, I'm happy for Southern Miss because it feels like they're finally in a conference that makes sense for them. There was a time where Conference USA made sense, but that ended a good, 15 plus years ago. So, it's a good fit. I see more upside than downside. I think everybody that kind of national observers, anybody that kind of follows Southern Miss for a long time, sees this as a move that makes a lot of sense, and especially under the circumstances, it's. I think Southern Miss kind of lands on its feet. When things could have easily, headed the other direction. That's a credit to Jeremy McClain. It's a perfect time to have Jeremy as your AD, a former Sun Belt athletic director, somebody who was well-established in that conference and knew everybody within the conference. So things very much kind of fell into place for Southern Miss, and I think this is you know, really a win across the board.
What about the infusion of enthusiasm, too, Patrick? I mean, Luke even put out a Twitter poll not long ago that asked the Southern Miss fan base, you know, given different choices, where would they want to wind up? And I think a majority of the people that responded said the Sun Belt. So this injects some new enthusiasm to a fan base that maybe has gotten stale the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, at the very least, it's an attention grabber. You know, a lot of people had grown tired of going to Southern Miss home games and watching them play team, you know, FAU, FIU, even North Texas. These are not programs that bring in, you know, extra people to football games. But, you know, whenever you bring in a South Alabama, a Louisiana Lafayette, even an Arkansas State, which travels fairly well, that's a difference maker. You know, Monroe's also within that map as well. So, I mean, it just makes a big difference. I mean, UAB was really kind of the one kind of regional school I thought that, you know, them and Louisiana Tech that were a good fit for Southern Miss, but especially La Tech and Southern Miss, I thought they kind of matched each other well. And you saw an intense rivalry kind of build really across the board in most sports. But I just think there's reason for Southern Miss fans to be excited, and it's been a little bit. It's been kind of a disappointing football season. A lot of things gone wrong for them the last two seasons in football. So if anything, this offers a positive distraction in that things are going to change here fairly soon, and it gives them something to look forward to.
Patrick, before I throw you to Luke Johnson, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Saints now. They eked one out the other night against the injury-plagued Seattle Seahawks. This Saints offense, it's not a Drew Brees offense, is it? I don't think these 52 points and 48-point numbers that they've been accustomed to seeing over the years, I don't think necessarily this is that kind of team.
No, and it really, that receiving core is really kind of, I think, the main issue right now, and they're not getting enough out of their tight ends. You know, you're without Michael Thomas, and probably your second best threat there in Deontay Harris against Seattle. Marquez Callaway is probably your third best guy, you know, whenever things make sense on offense. So, I mean, there were some Traquan Smith. I mean, he did not look right out there. So, I mean, for them to leave Seattle, go on the road and pick up another win, yeah, it was ugly. But you get Michael Thomas back in the fold here in maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and Traquan Smith gets his legs under him a little bit, I think we'll see the offense probably at its best within 3 to 4 weeks.
Patrick, I may ask you something about the Saints at the end, but I want to go back a couple things from the press conference yesterday. So Keith Gill and a few others yesterday emphasized the fact that the Sun Belt has one media partner, ESPN, which he called a tremendous partner several times. Is there anything to, you know, the Sun Belt being, other than the national broadcast, because you got to have some, you know, most of the time you got to have some special, hey, Blue, there's Blue right there. You got to have some type of you know, special package sometimes. You get the CBS channels. Who knows how you get stadium. But he talked about, you know, the eyes that they want to see are not necessarily in media markets. They are the people that watch national broadcasts every week, and the Sun Belt in that way is somewhat of a national brand, being the Fun Belt. I mean, is there something to now Southern Miss from 2023 on will have one place where Southern Miss fans can continually go to watch their teams play?
Yeah, that's a huge difference maker, and really Conference USA's decision to move away from ESPN and set up partners. I mean, Fox was one thing, but whenever you were just stuck with CBS Sports Stadium, really just a collection of games, it was pretty bad. I mean, the national exposure was pretty minimal, and you know, it just didn't make sense. And for fans to be able to sit down and watch games, it's kind of hard to build that following. Whenever Conference USA and Southern Miss had that ESPN deal and they were playing, I know that people complained about playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but you heard people talking about more about being familiar with Southern Miss and the brand that they had and how they respect Southern Miss. But whenever they moved away from that, you kind of saw the brand fade a little bit, and I think that's contributed a little bit to what we've seen the last few years, where, you know, had bad luck along the way, and it's just, it's maybe a little bit harder to, a lot harder to recruit, honestly. So it's, this can make a huge difference. We all saw that, you know, App State, Coastal Carolina game, last weekend, where, you know, a packed stadium and fans rushed the field, and it was probably a game that was well watched. So Southern Miss can finally get back to that. They can finally have that little bit of national exposure that the program really needs, and for the university as a whole to be able to not just recruit athletes, but bring students on campus.
What I'm excited about is the Sun Belt treated realignment from a position of strength, much like the Mountain West. And one thing Keith Gill said yesterday was they were only going to add teams if it would increase value. And I think there's more to that than just commish speech, because you look at what they did. They didn't lose anybody to the American. And the teams that they're bringing in are teams, I think, frankly, that the American will miss out on. I mean, is that when you look at what Gill says, I mean, certainly I think the Sun Belt is probably the knight in shining armor when realignment's done in the Group of Five other than the Mountain West.
Yeah, and that's he kind of has the same point of view on this. Whenever I kind of looked at Conference USA, you know, through the years, I'm like, okay, who provides the most value within the conference? And if you're sitting here thinking FAU is one of the most valuable schools or properties within the conference, you're fooling yourself. I mean, yeah, you win two conference championships, but nobody gives a squat. So Southern Miss, Marshall, I think Old Dominion adds great value. Yeah, they've had a tough time of it, and they probably made a mistake by shutting down football last season for a year. But Old Dominion's going to get right. They have a great fan base. I think, you know, Southern Miss, Marshall, Old Dominion, and James Madison really has tremendous potential as well. These are schools that have, they've had success in the past. They've proven they can put people in the stadium, but they've also got a little bit of a ceiling left. You know, they can do better than what they've done. So I think what we see is four programs joining Conference USA that can still kind of max out what they're capable of. Now, as far as those schools that join the American Athletic Conference, a lot of those schools, they're just never going to have that fan following. They're not going to have the community engagement that these four schools have. So I think a lot of ways that's why the Sun Belt is going to make more sense for the long run, is that everybody's got that kind of college, maybe not Georgia State or something like that. But for the most part, everybody's got that kind of college town feel, and people actually care.
Sure, absolutely.
I wanted to ask both of you guys, what is Louisiana Tech's beef now with Southern Miss? It seems like a lot of different social media outlets from the Louisiana Tech, you know, fan base, whatever, they're all lashing out at Southern Miss. What does the Southern Miss decision have to do with Louisiana Tech?
Nothing.
I think that what we're seeing is the minority. I don't think most Tech fans really kind of buy that idea that somehow Southern Miss turned their backs on La Tech. Southern Miss did what was right for them.
La Tech would have done the same thing, Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. They put, you know, politically, they really kind of put themselves in a terrible place over the last couple of decades. The moves they made, you know, leaving the Sun Belt for the WAC, and them really kind of talking down about the Sun Belt, because Tech's MO is to just treat Monroe as if it's, you know, it's just, why would we even want to, you know, acknowledge that they exist? And they have a dislike also for Louisiana Lafayette, but Monroe, I think, is really the sticking point here. And I think a lot of people would be, you know, we talked about last week, would be happy to switch Monroe for La Tech, but, I mean, that's just not happening. I mean, I don't see Tech joining Sun Belt anytime soon.
All right, Patrick McGee, thank you so much, buddy. Got to run. Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. When we come back, the star of this week, Jeremy McClain, as the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Hour continues on a Wednesday. Third segment brought to you by 4th Street. They'll have on game two of the World Series tonight at 7 o'clock. Braves won last night 6-2, lead the World Series 1-0 over the Houston Astros, and you can catch the game tonight at 4th Street. All right, let's get right to it. On the Eagle Hour, Luke Kelly and Michael from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel, Southern Miss, headed to the Sun Belt, and the man that made it possible joining us now. Trying to figure out where we're going to put the statue, Jeremy, but Jeremy McClain, athletic director, and Kelly wants your autograph, by the way, so we're reaching out to Delta State to see if there's any, like, old-school Jeremy McClain pitching baseball cards, and we may auction one of those off or something. But, man, how good does it feel a day later after this announcement?
Oh, man, it feels great, and I appreciate you guys having me on. It's a great day for Southern Miss, and just you know, personally glad to be able to share it publicly and have to kind of keep it to myself for a few days. I said it several times yesterday, I think just a great day for our university, for our fans, for coaches, for our student athletes, and just, you know, a level of excitement that we probably haven't felt in a while. And I think it's well deserved from the standpoint of the opportunity, you know, that's in front of us. I want to say one thing about the statue. Somebody said that the other day on social media, and my wife just laughed, and I said, what's the problem? And she said, I can just envision the next bad decision you make, they'd be putting graffiti on it. I said, yeah, you're right. Let's not go down that path.
And usually those statues aren't erected until you're long dead, Jeremy, so we don't want,
right, exactly.
We don't want one in any of it. All right, so kind of all this, you said all this started with the Oklahoma-Texas announcement in July. I think it was the 1 week you have off. It started, and dominoes fell, and you had told us on that program that certain people had to make certain things, but it seems as if the Sun Belt wanted Southern Miss this whole time during realignment, and looking up, I think the Sun Belt is going to come out as the knight in shining armor when realignment's all said and done.
I think you're right, and from a sequence of events standpoint, you know, you Texas and Oklahoma, that decision gets out there, and then you kind of know that obviously the Big 12 then has to make some decisions, and then the American has to make some decisions. So it's just this sequence of events and dominoes that have to kind of take place, but that gave some time for conversations to be had, between athletic directors. And I think the Sun Belt started with, you know, a lot of people on their board of who would bring value and who would be of interest to the membership. But I don't think it took very long for them to really hone in on us for a multitude of reasons: our history, our tradition, the fan base, the geographical footprint, kind of the ability to excel in several sports. And I think you're right. I think they very quickly realized that, they wanted us to be a top priority, and that became, you know, evident pretty quickly at the end.
Jeremy, there is word breaking out of Old Dominion now today. Apparently it's official that the Monarchs are going to be joining the Sun Belt. There's also rumor that Marshall of Conference USA is going to be joining along with James Madison. Have you had any discussions directly with any of your contemporaries at Old Dominion about potential moves, whatnot?
Yep, I have. I talked to Wood last night, and he kind of gave me the heads up and that they were going to be able to get it out there today, and just very excited about that. And I think they're going to have a press conference tomorrow. They bring a lot to the table. I think they address some geography there on the east side. We saw them in ball last year, kind of what they, you know, talk about a base league that was already going to be really good, the Old Dominion, and one seed here in the regional, and it just got better. And they bring tradition in football. They're kind of in a little bit of mode like we are, very strong tradition. And they play basketball and then women's side, and they add a whole to the league and depth of the league when we start talking about multiple sports. And so really excited about them joining us in that transition.
Just talking, before I send it back to Luke, just talking to other media outlets around the Old Dominion area, they felt like James Madison was somebody in particular that Old Dominion really wanted to come with them, but James Madison had been playing at a lower level. I know that you don't speak for Old Dominion, but what value would James Madison, for example, bring to the table, hypothetically?
Yeah, I think James Madison would, and again, I don't know. I'm just
understood
speaking about them in general terms. I don't know kind of where they're at, but I think what they would do is some of the same things. Now, James Madison is an FBS institution masquerading as an FCS. I mean, their budget is very comparable and above many of ours. The success they've had in football at the FCS level is well documented. They bring, again, some depth in some other sports. They had a softball program that went to the World Series last year, made a ton of noise. And so I think, again, that geographically that would make sense. And they bring a lot. They would bring a lot of depth when we start talking about various sports. They bring a really strong fan base. They got a beautiful campus, great facilities. So I think, you know, there would be a little bit of a growing up, quote unquote, process if they were to move from FCS to FBS. But they're the type of program that could handle that and make that transition pretty quickly.
Football wise, they were a lot like Georgia Southern, who's currently a Sun Belt member.
That's right. Georgia Southern and App State, you know, came in at the same time. and really never missed a beat. I think the difference today would be that the Sun Belt is especially in the East, much stronger than it was probably in 2014-15 when App State and George Southern came in. But really, they kind of hit the ground running and were successful and right off the bat were able to build on that.
Jeremy, the date, July 1st, 2023, a lot of Southern Miss fans wondering, you know, why would there be a delay? Because you think only one more football season, but I know a lot of baseball fans anxious to get in that really nice Sun Belt Conference. It'll be two baseball seasons. Kind of walk through why it will take until July of 2023.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. I mean, if you look at anyone else, you talk about Texas, Oklahoma, you talk about the schools that are going to the Big 12, the Conference USA schools that are going to the American, everybody's kind of in the same boat. And the reason for that is normally bylaws call for at least X amount of notice, right? 18 months, 14 months, 20 months, whatever the case may be. And so so the leagues can have that time to address scheduling challenges. So if you're going into a league, adjusting schedules 6 months out is a whole lot more difficult than 18 months out. And so that's kind of the norm, and that's the reason why. It's just not quite as easy as plug and play sometimes when you got teams coming and going. Is it possible to do something different? Yes. But as of right now, that's our date, and that's what we're working towards. The reason to answer your question is because that's how it's spelled out in the bylaws from a separation standpoint.
Jeremy, very quickly in the remaining moments we have with you, you were very clear about the Conference USA exit fees that are going to have to be paid. But in a doomsday situation, if Conference USA goes belly up for whatever reason, you wouldn't anticipate that next year, but is this exit fee going to be paid all at once? Is it going to be paid over a period of time?
It would, Kelly, it would just be a withholding of distribution.
Okay.
So, in other words, it would be paid.
They'd pay themselves.
Part of it in year one, part of it in year two. And so it wouldn't be writing a check as much as it would just not getting your distribution.
So even in that second year, if Conference USA were to not exist, I guess it doesn't matter either way in that scenario you're talking about.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a scenario that would happen. I do understand why people might speculate that.
Right.
But if that were to be the case, then obviously I think that's probably above my head, and our legal teams would figure out what needed to happen in that case.
And the transition, I'm guessing, has started immediately in your office. To a degree.
From the standpoint of
transitioning to the Sun Belt from the Conference USA.
Well, we're still in Conference USA, so our daily work has to be done, with that in mind. But as far as preparations and all the little things that have to be done over the next year or so, yes, absolutely. So we're kind of mapping out what that looks like and kind of what we can tackle now and what has to wait until a little closer to the official date.
Jeremy, last question. We've got about a minute left. What has been the response from your old buddies in the Sun Belt, specifically to you? We've seen it on social media, but what's the buzz in the Sun Belt about Southern Miss coming in?
No, they're all just thrilled. I think they. I've gotten messages from pretty much everyone in the league and a lot of good friends there, and they're excited about us being a part of it. They really, really felt that Southern Miss was a no-brainer and made a ton of sense as far as bringing value. And they're all extremely excited. I think they think it's a win for the league. I think they know the league got better. And I'm excited to kind of be able to share a league with some of those folks in the AD's chair across the league. So it's going to be a good day, and they're very excited about us being a part of it.
Kelly, can we put the statue at the end of the Eagle Walk so we just go by? It's like him with a hand raise. We just go and give Jeremy a high five
well,
as we end the Eagle Walk.
That'd I'm just saying, they might be excited now, but when we start tapping that rear end when we get in that league, they're not going to be so excited about Southern Miss.
Hey, Kelly, that's my plan too, I promise.
Good deal.
Jeremy, we appreciate your time, man. Thanks, as always, for coming on.
And congratulations, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
Good for
thanks,
you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That's Jeremy McClain, Athletics Director for Southern Miss. Great time with him. Exciting new dawn for Southern Miss Athletics as they head to the Sun Belt. Eagle Hour will close it out right after this. Stick with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by D1 and DBAT training facilities in Hattiesburg, right off of Interstate 59, across from the Westward Square, the old Gaddy Town. I always know former pizza places, which is why I could certainly use D1 and DBAT in the offseason, and your softball and baseball players should be having an offseason. Can't find a cleaner, more suitable place for your kids to indoor train, getting ready for the upcoming softball and baseball season. The D1 and DBAT, proud supporters of the Eagle Hour, and we're glad they are part of the family. Luke will bring us up to date now as to what Southern Miss teams are doing what this time of the year, Luke.
Yeah, Southern Miss Golf, of course, was at the Battle for Black Creek and finished ninth. Overall, they kind of fell a little bit yesterday, had a rough stretch in the third round, finished seventh overall, but finished ninth out of 18 teams. That's their final golf tournament of the fall, and is a real good Southern Miss in the top 65 programs in the country right now in golf. And, man, early in the season, especially Hunter Atkins, had some phenomenal finishes. So congratulations to Coach Brescher and his guys on a well-deserved fall. Kelly, we brought up earlier, people missed out on Jeremy's interview. Of course, they can go back on podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Of course, always on demand on Super Talk's website. But Old Dominion now officially a member of the Sun Belt. And it seems as if, you know, he's not tipped his hand at all, Kelly, but really, really possible for Marshall and James Madison to be coming in soon.
Yeah, James Madison, I think everybody was going, James Madison, because they weren't playing at the highest level. But he talked about budgets, and I know they just pumped double-digit millions of dollars into the football and basketball and baseball complexes there. So James Madison was ready to make a move one way or the other, and Old Dominion and James Madison hate each other. I mean, it's one of those good rivalries, and they have wanted to get back in a situation where they can play each other. Again, they're very close, travel distances, you know, saving expenses, all that. But we've gotten to know Jeremy, you know, pretty well here since he's taken over as athletic director. Very open, very forthright. And I'm just excited for him because, let's face it, the athletic department has needed some really good news, you know, ongoing good news. And I'm not as tough on our fan base as a lot of people are. Our fan base has been great. When you compare it to other Conference USA schools, the Golden Eagles, even with the record they have been pulling as big a numbers as anybody and even higher in Conference USA. So I know, Luke, that our fan base is going to respond to this great news in like kind. Agree?
Absolutely. And we were joking off air with him. Man, that 2023 football schedule, I'll tell you what. If you wanted a football schedule, Florida State, Tulane, Mississippi State, plus it'll be eight Sun Belt teams, six in the West, and who knows, you might be going to Coastal or App State. Man, I tell you what, that's gonna be a dandy.
And he said we better get really good really fast.
it's gonna help for sure. All right, you were in Ames over the weekend. Sent me a video, exciting Cyclone win over Oklahoma State. But you missed it, and I didn't get your take on it the first 2 days. The inglorious Hattiesburg American, Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Headline of the sports section, Kelly Sander. SMU exploring move from Conference USA or CUSA per report. They were not referring to Southern Methodist University. They were referring to the University of Southern Mississippi. Less that we care about, but just we should note, I think this was actually the Clarion Ledger. It said, Mississippi State scores 31 unanswered points en route of LSU. Rebels quarterback Corral completes 18 of 23 passes as the Bulldogs beat their former coach. So you've got it, and it goes back. It's the same company. But I just wanted to be let's just don't even worry about the Mississippi State one. You're going to tell me that the newspaper in Hattiesburg doesn't have somebody watching that headline, not a subscript, not a subheadline, and they're going to call the University of Southern Mississippi, SMU. Your thoughts?
It's unexcusable. In a word, it's unexcusable. As a journalist, and we talked kind of about this last week when this Conference USA story was breaking, you want to be right. Even if you're not first, you better be right. And how can you expect people to subscribe to your publication, whichever publication it is, if you can't even get the name right? It's inexcusable.
I was joking with somebody. I said, I'm just glad they wrote about Southern Miss. I didn't know they knew there was a university in Hattiesburg.
But so, when you said SMU, I'm going, I didn't know the Mustangs were in Conference USA. Because even really now, Southern Miss is not known as USM. That's not really its moniker anymore.
Or Southern Miss.
Yeah, it's Southern Miss.
All right, you got 30 seconds left. Drill me with some Sunbelt questions.
All right, the smallest institution enrollment-wise of the current members. Now, Southern Miss, of course, not going until July of 2023.
Coastal Carolina.
I guessed Troy, but that's not the case. No, Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, wow.
Just a little under 7,000 students. Now, to put that in context, Southern Miss has an enrollment of about 14,000. I didn't realize that Southern Miss was twice the size of Louisiana Monroe. But on the other end of the coin, the largest institution that plays football.
See, I would think it would be Texas State.
It is, that plays football. And that's 33,000. But Texas Arlington is currently in the league, but they're a basketball and other sport. They're at 35,000. But anyway, from 7,000 to about 35,000, but... Oh, man, it's an
Eagles.
It's a new day.
Eagles right in the middle. So great show today. Appreciate everybody listening in. And, hey, Friday we're going to be at the Scott Berry Golf Classic. More to talk about tomorrow. What an exciting week for Southern Miss Athletics. Join us tomorrow, same time, same station, same place. We'll catch you then. And, as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.